The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Ichiban Podcast Son, Curtis Spears, Rafe Houston, back in your ears. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. I'm feeling good. I've had a great day. I've had a great weekend even. So
busy, yeah, busy.
Just been chilling with the wife all weekend, fucking doing absolutely nothing. We started a new show together. We've been cuddling on the couch watching that. We've been fucking hanging around, doing shit. Let's go.
Very sweet. We had a bit of a busy weekend unintentionally. You and I were going to record this yesterday, but ended up falling off the wagon and we were fucking out drinking in the city and things like that. And when we were going to get on the line at about, I don't know, 7, and I was like getting home at like 2, and I was like, this ain't going to happen, Curtis. I'm very sorry. So here we are.
Well, tell everybody later. What you were doing.
What was I doing?
It sounds like you were doing some fun stuff.
Well,
you were drinking until you fell down.
Well, I didn't fall down. A friend did, though. That's actually a pretty funny story. So I'm not allowed to fall down anymore, remember? We went to Fremantle, which I don't tend to normally go to. It's like quite far from here. But we went down there to go to the WA Maritime Museum because what's his name? James Cameron has an exhibition there called Challenging the Deep. And it's got like lots of, artifacts and information and movies about the thing he did where he dived to the bottom of the Marianas Trench. Like he actually did it himself, like built a submarine to do it and went. I think he holds the record for like the only person that's ever done it or whatever.
He's been to Challenger Deep, which is the deepest part that we've ever found of the the trench, I think.
Yeah, he did do it. And I was like learning about it. It took him 6.75 hours to do that journey, just himself in. And I sat in the ball, like the size of the ball thing he was in, just cramped in there to like essentially go right down. And then once it gets to the bottom, you just like, he let off the weights and then come back up sort of thing. But yeah, fucking crazy, a crazy thing to do. And then had info about, you know, Titanic and the abyss and things like that. It was really cool. And then we walked through and then we went and saw Australia 2, which is the very famous Australian racing yacht. Do you know about Australia 2? Have you ever watched the documentary on Netflix, the series called Untold?
No, I watched the documentary on Netflix, Trailer Park Boys, but
Untold. Hang on, I'm going to choose, or is it Uncovered? Hang on, Untold, Australia 2. You have to watch this documentary. It's the most fucking patriotic I've ever. You need to, anybody that's listening to this and you want a fucking good documentary, it's called Watch Untold, The Race of the Century. Now, Watch Untold are like a series of documentaries on Netflix, and The Race of the Century is about the time when the Australia 2, the Australian, you know, racing yacht beat America. And it was a huge fucking big deal for Australia, obviously, but also for the world because the New York Yacht Club and the American team had not been defeated for like over 100 years or something crazy. Like it was said to the captain of the American boat, the Legacy, every new captain, they were told, if that cup ever leaves that cabinet, your head goes in it. Like that was the fucking level of intensity. And, you know, the New York Yacht Club are all there and they've got their like little, you know, straw hats and their nice polos and they're all very proper. And then in come like the Australian team and this is the captain, I'm not going to say his name, I'm going to butcher him. That's probably a fucking, hang on. I have to say it because I'm West Australian and I fucking doing my country proud. John Bertrand. So he's a dude who grows up like sailing and things like that. And he's something he really wants to do and he dedicates his life to kind of doing it. And the ship is owned by James Bond, who's a very famous, well, infamous sort of Australian dude. And he gets this builder, I think his name's Ben Essex, who develops this very special keel, which nobody else had done before this, a winged keel under the yacht. So if you picture the bottom of a yacht goes straight down like this, like a fin of a shark, it has these little two like on a plane, you know, like that.
Okay.
And it lets it actually travel faster. They keep it secret and stuff and there's all this shit. It's all crazy, right? But when I truly knew I loved this documentary and when I truly felt Australian is when they start to actually win and like before they're like racing, they're playing like from Land Down Under by Men at Work and then the Australians start flying in, right? And all the Australians like are like drinking piss on the streets and fighting people and they're wearing shirts like fuck the New York Yacht Club and shit like that. I'm like, now I know fucking why I'm proud to be an Australian. So we get real rowdy and then Australia wins. And it's also like, you know, it's interviewing that captain from the American team as well. And then like his life just crashing around him because fucking, you know, when he loses, like he turns around, all these fucking dudes have left him. You know what I mean? He's just on his own. The New York Yacht Club will fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Ben Lexon is the gentleman that invented the wing keel. So I got to see the boat in real life, which I'd never seen before. And yeah, did that. And then we went to Gage Roads Brewery, had a delicious beer and fish and chips, got a couple of them going, went shopping through the East End markets at these big sheds on the water, very famous, worked through there. My sister-in-law was knick-knack shopping for like she's decorating her apartment. And then we come back and then that was going to be us. And then our friends were going out to it was a Deftones tribute night, like a band was playing a Deftones kind of full set. And before they went, we said, oh, you should just come around for a couple of drinks before you go and then you guys can go because we live in the city. They came over, we went to our roof, had a few drinks. Then it became evident that we should also go to this event. And so then we ended up going to the Deftones tribute thing as well. And then we were there quite late. And then, once that finished, a couple of drinks with them, things like that, walked home. But then on the way home, our friend Jamie, she was laughing so bad, she just fell down laughing. I don't know why, but she did. She's just rolling on the ground like a turtle. And then we're like just getting her up and then these two people appear and he's like, hey guys, are you okay? And we're like, who are you? And he's like, I'm the street chaplain. And we're like, the street chaplain? And sure enough, he's got like a uniform and he's got the collar, like the priest collar, and he's got a backpack and things like that. He's like, I'm just helping people on the streets. He definitely thinks we're kidnapping this girl at this stage. He's like, who is she? And Dylan's like, that's my wife. And he's kind of looking at him like, yeah, maybe she is. And we're like, no. She just pulled over. And she's like, I'm totally fine. I was just laughing fit. She's like, I'm about to get in an Uber over here. And he goes, well, let me give you some water and like a vomit bag kind of thing. And he gave her like a water and this thing that like pops out. And we're like, thanks, street chaplain. And he was out here fucking, you know, saving drunk people with the power of Jesus. And I think he realized in that moment that he really couldn't all the way decide if we were kidnapping her or Dylan was really married. But I guess when you're a street chaplain, there's a lot of lives to save. And after a while, you just need to like trust in Jesus, send her back to the streets and hope she's okay. So
was he manic in any way?
No, not at all.
Manic street preacher.
No, not a preacher at all. Yeah. He was like fucking doing the Lord's work up close and personal. Yeah. I like to imagine he's got,
really like,
yeah, manic street preachers. I like to hope that he has some kind of martial arts training. You know, like there's a whole show you can base around it. Like,
for the Lord.
Yeah, somebody fucking pulls a knife on him and he has to like break their wrist. It's like, I didn't want to do that. Fucking say 10 Hail Marys, get the fuck out of here. You know, that sort of
thing. Yeah, and then he prays over them. He like knocks them out like quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Yeah.
Ninja fast.
Yeah.
Bang. And then like prays over them.
Yeah. Somebody's having a drug
and like
drug overdose.
Takes a rosary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Takes a rosary bead and like puts it out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he'll do whatever he needs to do. Like somebody's overdosing. They're trying Narcan. It's not bringing them back. And he just like faith heals them on the spot, like a defibrillator.
Whoa.
Yeah. That would be sick.
The power of Christ compels you.
Yeah. It was dope. I was really into it. Street chaplain. Didn't know they existed before the other night. So, yeah, anyway, so, we need to talk about some shit.
Yeah, we need to talk. I was just thinking, hey, everybody.
Actually, introduce the show. We never do it. You should definitely introduce the show.
Well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sweetest Cast, the Ichiban Sweet Cast. And I'm your good friend, Curtis Spears. That's your bad friend, Rafe Houston. We're here today to talk about the G1 Climax Tournament. It's coming up. It's coming soon.
It is.
And we need to do our ups and downs. We need to do our lefts and rights. No. We need to do our best and worst case scenario for the G1. Oh man, it's almost that time. You know, like when little kids are ready and they're like, oh shit, it's Christmas time. Let's go. No, not for me. It's G1 time.
It's G1. Absolutely.
It's G1.
It's so exciting. Now
and let me tell you, this one is fucking shaping up. Dude.
It's hot. It's very hot. The new lineup going back to two blocks. And then most importantly, the qualifier rounds. Like, boy, am I pumped to see that. Because
They're cutting the fat.
They're cutting it hard. And it's very interesting because it's something that people have called for a while. But, you know, there used to be that sort of debate like, yeah, you kind of got to have them in there, you know, give the guys a night off and things like that. Not this year.
No.
This year they're like, we're going to fucking work. Like, and it's...
If you can't hack it, you don't need to be in the fucking...
And you know what? I feel like they, you know, New Japan's out to make a statement with this tournament because they're like, they've had some, you know, real big talent going, New Japan ain't got nobody left, man. And they're going to be like, time for all of you to show everybody who the fuck we are, that it don't matter fucking who you are. If you're wrestling here, you're fucking top tier. And
well,
pumped.
If the Blessed Super Juniors that just passed has any preview of the G1, we're in for some fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
We're in for some fucking shit, boys.
Absolutely.
Ooh, we are fucking diving headfirst into this. Let's break down the qualifying matches first.
Yeah, let's start there. Absolutely.
We've already had the first round of qualifying. We had Yoshihashi defeat Chase Owens and move on to face Tomohiro Ishii.
Absolutely.
So Chase Owens automatically out.
Yeah, which is huge. He's somebody that's often been questioned whether he should be in the tournament. There's been times where we've argued, look, you know, he can go, he can have a good match, but really he's not at that like top tier of the, you know, the star power to fill out a tournament, and he's been cut out. So, yeah, that's crazy.
He's gone already. So that's one of our worst-case scenarios already gone.
I know. It's good. It's interesting that we are recording this now because if we had recorded this earlier, our best-case, worst-cases would look very different because there would still be a few gentlemen in this tournament that could, you know, it's going to be harder to predict the worst case now because they've cut out some of the guys that are automatic, you know, choices.
Yep. So next... Callum Newman, one of the biggest wins of his career, defeats Yujiro Takahashi, takes out the fucking Tokyo Pimp.
Yeah.
So Yujiro Takahashi, a dude who we love and we joke around about a lot, but dude's not up to a G1 snuff, you know? So, damn.
Absolutely.
That's another worst case scenario out the fucking door.
I know. It's crazy. Then we're looking at now. A block remains Tomohiro Ishii versus Yoshihashi and Callum Newman versus Kenta remaining in here. So I think there's still a lurking threat in this block, but really three out of four as a potential go through that I know can deliver in these matches. Like I'm pretty happy with it so far. Out of the remaining four,
let's start with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's going to be the best case scenario for you to make it into the tournament proper?
You know, there's two schools of thought here. You know, it's experience versus seeing a new talent in there. And though people say, you know, it's always the same thing, it's really fucking hard to go past Ishii, man. Like, he just had that absolute banger with Jeff Cobb, and then he's in A. So you turn around and you drop him in with any of the names that are in Block A, and you know they'll have a good match with him. Like, it's actually impossible for him to have a bad match with anybody in that list, and that includes somebody like Sonata. Like, Ishii always fucking delivers. So it's really hard for me to go past. Yoshihashi is, like, just under him and would also be good, but I quite often, you know, criticize sort of his intensity and things like that. So I think Ishii would be my guaranteed number one, but I would not be mad about Callum Newman just to see a brand new person put in there. But again, you put Callum Newman with guys like Evil and Sonata that are proven guys that don't always lift somebody else, and I think you would see the curve on the match quality drop off.
Mm, okay. Yeah, Callum Newman, maybe he's not up to he's not up to that speed just yet. It'd be like putting a ungraduated young lion in there.
Yeah, and though, like, I think he can keep up with people, but I don't think he's got the experience. I don't think he's got the seniority to dictate the pace with, like, somebody like an Evil or a Sonata.
Right. He definitely needs a little bit more seasoning before we go there. So let's go with Tomohiro Ishii as our best case scenario. What's the worst case scenario in this A block qualifier?
Oh, Kenta all day.
Yeah.
All day.
I'm pretty sure Callum Newman has gotten as far as he's going to get in this qualifying round. Pretty sure Kenta's going to end up. I mean, Kenta's a tag team champion just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He's probably going to put Callum Newman down for this. Yoshihashi, I would love to see go in, but I don't know if he's going to be able to get past Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever beaten Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah, I don't know.
In a singles match. I'm pretty sure he hasn't.
Chris Sabser on the blower. He'll tell us.
Yeah, he'll let us know. Yeah. Get that motherfucker on the phone. Faith No More reference. Yeah. Everybody. I think we're going to agree that it's going to be Tomohiro Ishii would be our best case scenario to go into A block like a champ. Mm-hmm. Yoshihashi, not a bad option, but he's not the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. And Kenta is the worst case scenario, unfortunately. Although, is Kenta the worst case scenario, or is it actually Callum Newman? Because, like you said, that...
Nah. Callum Newman, I could definitely see having exciting matches with the right talent. Like with the other guys that are either experienced or fast or things like that. Like if you look at the A block, like, I mean, he just had a half decent match with Naito, Shingo definitely, Zack Sabre Jr. definitely, Kid.
Yeah.
You know.
No, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
There's dudes in there, like, I'm sure. Yeah. I think he could. Just the way Kent has been wrestling lately and the kind of how he has to physically and things like that, it really can grind. It can be long and it can be slow and, it can be a lot. And it's just not what I want out of G1, you know? Not to say he can't be entertaining, but it's just not what I want.
Yeah, it's not what the G1 needs, and especially with the vibe that they're chucking out with this G1.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the B block qualifier. Oleg Bolton defeats Toru Yano. Yano, gone. No more G1s for Yano. 2007, I think, was the last time there was a G1 that there didn't have Yano in it. So, no yuck-yucks this year.
Which is crazy. That's a huge call. As long as I've been watching G1s, he's been a staple, and he has been that, like I said earlier, night off match where everybody does like a comedy match. Even Kenny Omega joking in promos like, when somebody interfered or whatever, and he was like supposed to be, you know, wrestling fucking Yano. He was like, I get to wrestle Yano once a year and you ruined it. Like, you know, like he is that match, you know, and the fact that he's not in there is crazy. And they even, I don't know whether it ended up, obviously he had like a bicycle injury, but oh my God, I'm fucking, the Funky Weapon was not in Best of the Super Juniors either. Which is
both. Might have like, raised the bar for, for
yeah. how. And maybe good they were like, maybe we don't need this. So, yeah, either way, that's a huge out because it's, you know, and he has historically not only been that night off, but he has also been a wild card. He served a great purpose in that anybody could lose to him on any given night. And it wouldn't really damage anybody, you know?
Losing out on the spoiler effect that Yano brings is sad. Losing out on the night off, like 15 minutes of goof off match does kind of suck.
Yeah.
The thing about it is like Yano 5 minutes, 5 minute Yano match, fine. But sometimes it was a 15 minute Yano match and that was fucking pulling teeth, man.
Yeah.
Especially when you're watching live and you're just like, God, I can only go take a piss and make a cup of coffee so many times, right?
Yeah, sure. I would say if they were going to do, like, looking at the A and B blocks, if you wanted to throw, like, a night off match in either of them, there are still things you could do. Like, you could do things like a walk and brawl with Gabe Kidd at a disqualification, you know? You can do a, you know, Ren Narita's in there so you can have House of Torture bullshit on that night. So there are things you can do in each block to sort of have a bit of a farcical thing if you need to give somebody a rest or you want a wild card thing to happen, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're okay with Oleg Bolton, even though he's in the same, like, area that Callum Newman is, although he says he has graduated, and who are we to fucking argue with him?
Yeah. It's interesting that he's versing his own team. Because they're obviously never three.
Wild, right?
He's beat Yano, but then next is Tanahashi. And so are they going to have him go through his own team to get into the semis, or is El Presidente going to shut him down?
I'm gonna say this. It's the right thing to do. And it makes me sad.
Does it work for me, brother?
I know. We love President Girlfriend around here, but Tanahashi, I don't think he's going to need a month-long G1 schedule.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think that's a great kind of boost for him, and I think that's building him real nice. Like you go, okay, so he's done the Never, well, he's doing the Never Trios thing, and he's like done the pinning in those matches as well, so he's looking pretty dominant. Yeah. So then he goes through his own team, and they're like, I think I saw a picture of Yano like shaking his hand and stuff. I think Tanahashi will be proud of him. It doesn't hurt the team. He goes through. Then you'll have him versus the winner of this other side. I don't think he'll get into the G1. I don't think he's ready for that length of match and match quality and stuff like that. But I think it still makes him look good.
Matches, make Goldberg matches. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, that's all we need for him. So that's all good. And then on the other side, we've seen TJP eliminate Kojima, and then Tai Chi's waiting for him. So then it's Tai Chi and TJP, and then the winner to versus Oleg. So I kind of think, I personally, I don't know about you, but on this side, I would love to see Tai Chi beat TJP and then beat Oleg. And for a couple of reasons. One, TJP has announced that, you know, he's now open weight and he's going to be in heavyweight things and stuff like that. But that has only just happened. You know what I mean? And he's just been in a junior tournament, which he went really deep in. So I don't think it hurts him to get knocked out in this qualifier. And also I think for his character, it's a little bit of a like, just because you want to a heavyweight does not mean you are a heavyweight yet. You know, he physically hasn't changed his body at all yet, you know, so.
When you see those guys who are like, I'm a junior, but I'm entering the G1.
Yeah.
Even if, I mean, they put on great matches and they are great competitors, but statistically they don't do well in the G1.
Yeah.
So I know you want the prestige of entering the G1, you know, but you're going to end up getting a win, two wins, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
This, I mean, ELP's first year in the G1, he got what, one win?
Yeah. And I don't think it's a small thing to beat Kojima. I mean, this man wasn't he just like the fucking All Japan champion or Noah champion or something? Like, for like a year or something?
I think it was. He's been the Noah champ?
He's been rolling.
Currently, he was an MLW champion as well recently.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's very decorated and a former IWGP champion. So it's not a small thing for a junior to beat him.
The IWGP championship and the AJPW Triple Crown at the same time.
Yeah, it's not small shit, you know? Fucking Great British heel stuff, you know, World Tag Leagues, all this stuff. So for somebody who's only just stopped being a junior to beat him in like a qualifier for G1 isn't a small thing. So, and then I think Tai Chi's been a little bit quiet. I don't think anybody could argue that he's got a great resume of putting on good matches in G1. I think he would round out the B block really nicely. So I think I'd like to see Tai Chi go through him. Tai Chi go through Oleg. I feel like him and Oleg would have really good interactions. There'd be some tension, sexual or otherwise. Like, and then, like, you know what I mean? There'd be sort of some intense staring and nipple popping and stuff. And then I'd like to see to get him into B block. So my best case scenario for B block qualifier would be Tai Chi. My worst case would be TJP.
Now, sell me, because I want to know. I'm obviously the Bolton boy.
Why am I saying my best case is him? Because I haven't sold you on Tanahashi yet, which is what I normally do time we do this. So you could choose Tai Chi if you want as your best case. I'm actually going to say, look, Oleg's only learning. El Presidente, he's running the company on his shoulders, and the only way to do that is by leading by example. So then he's going to steamroll through Oleg and be like, nice one, kid, you almost learnt it. He'll go through Tai Chi. There's a bit of mutual appreciation. And then in my best case scenario, Tanahashi is in the G1.
That don't work for me, bro.
Yeah, well, you're going to see by the end of this this thing, you'll be like, Tanahashi to Wrestle Kingdom.
I've done it before.
He's a champion. He's a NEVER Trios champion.
He is, but so is Bolton.
Yep. So now, just so you know, you're now going to have to keep the best case on track, because I'm going to fucking take this angle on this.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot. Like I've decided that I'm going to call my shot on it, and I'm going to try and convince you that he'd be good.
Okay. Bolton brings something very different to the G1. He brings what could be like a bull in a china shop, like Big Van Vader. He doesn't need fucking a 15-minute, match. He just needs 5 minutes to pick you up and throw you into the fucking sun.
So are you saying to me that your best case is Bolton? Because you might be selling me on this, because like you said, you do that Goldberg booking with him and you're like, holy fuck. And then if you're talking about the B block of G1, we're not talking the big boys here. You know what I mean? There's a couple, but Goto, big boy, ELP, not. Suji, big, but I'm pretty sure we've seen Bolton throw him around anyway. Jeff Cobb, big. Hanare, big-ish, but still doable. Finlay, Narita, Yuya, Takeshita. Like, they're not all huge units. So you can see him throw people around.
Imagine the big boy battle when he and Jeff Cobb try to deadlift each other, the kaiju noises coming out of there. It's gonna be like,
I'm
into it. Like, I need
let's just call it. Let's do this as my best case is gonna be Tanahashi and yours is gonna be Oleg, just because it's gonna be fun as we work it out. We both agree that realistically it should be Tai Chi, and we love Tai Chi, and I mean, you can go back into our archives and hear the fucking fantasy Wrestle Kingdom we booked, where we booked Tai Chi as the fucking champion. So, like, we've said all we can about Tai Chi. So we're going to love it and we're going to back this in. Now, do we both agree that our worst case here would be TJP?
Nope.
No. if you turn around and you say that Tanahashi's your worst case scenario, I'll slap you. I'm booking a ticket to London. Tanahashi's your worst case scenario in a G1.
Sorry, bro.
In a G1. You're fucking tripping. All right, fine.
G1 needs nothing. That's what it is.
Oh, my God.
Are you looking up flights? I'm sorry.
I am. I'm booking a flight, but I'm also writing down your fucking traitorous dog words. All right, then. Cool. I'll put that there. All right, let's break down A and B block. So A block, it is going to be Tetsuya Naito, Shota Umino, Shingo Takagi, Sonata, the Great Okan, Zack Sabre Jr., Gabe Kidd, Evil, Noah's Jake Lee, and then either of the best case, worst case scenarios that we have seen.
Let's break it down by person. Okay, Naito, probably going into the G1 as champion, yes?
I think there's probably a pretty good chance he is going to be the champion during this G1, yeah.
Okay, so then let's look at some of the other people that we defenses against. Who's getting pins over champion Naito in the future here?
I could see Umino getting that win back. His first sort of botchy kind of match he had against him, he got quite a bit of criticism, like, he's not ready for Naito kind of thing, but it was one of his very first big matches. So I could see Shota getting that win back. Potential there. Okay. I could see Takagi. The great thing about Naito is he's so fucking beatable. You know, and I don't mean that in that he gets beaten all the time, but that his character is beatable. It doesn't hurt him, and he's like, he works best as an underdog, so you can have him take a bunch of losses. It doesn't fucking really hurt him. So Shingo could, Sonata could, I don't think Great Okan would, Zack Sabre definitely could, probably not Kid, maybe Evil, maybe Jake Lee. So, I mean, Naito beat Jake Lee recently, right? So you can see him get that win back. So you can see him, if he's a champion here, you could definitely see him taking losses, like a few losses.
Let's call the shots. Okay, right now, if Tetsuya Naito is champion going to the G1, give me two names that would be best case scenario to get wins over Naito and challenge in the future. Best case scenario.
So my first would be Zack Sabre Jr., but that would come along with him winning the whole tournament, because then it wouldn't be about setting up a title defense. It would be about Wrestle Kingdom. And then the second would be...
So these are not your Wrestle Kingdom
title defenses. No.
These are...
Oh, okay. So we're not talking about who would win it.
Talking about
two title defenses.
Setting up title defenses on the way to Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay. In my personal best case, it'd be Kid and Shingo. Would deliver like two massive ones. Kid challenging for that title, obviously not winning, but just like when he fucking had that great match against Sonata. I think he'd be really good.
He had a great match with Kaito Kiyomiya the other day.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I gotta go turn that on.
Yeah, watch that one. It's real fucking good.
Kid and Shingo would be my personal picks, but they're my two favorites.
I'd dig that. I could. I think for me, Shingo would be number one. And I want to say Great Okan, but I think Gabe Kidd. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I think that would be a better. Mm-hmm. So that's Naito. Let's go ahead and talk now about Shooter. How do you feel about Shooter coming into the G1?
Good. I mean, I think he definitely stands a chance of doing quite well in the tournament. And you'd have to look at him as like a favorite, like the company's clearly behind him. I think it's going to be really interesting. It's going to really start to build him a resume. You know what I mean? As a future ace, like how does he, has he track in here? At the moment, I'm not all the way sold on him as a, like, this is the fucking next ace kind of thing, but he needs to start building up that resume. So we'll see.
How about Shingo? Shingo's next up.
I mean, Shingo. Now,
Shingo just lost the Never. So yeah.
And I think that was to free him up to do other work. You know what I mean? So you could absolutely see the company. Like, I think he could definitely be a favorite to win it. I think the company know he's one of the best wrestlers they've got. I think they know he can absolutely deliver with anybody. I think he carried the title in a time when fucking nobody else could and did a great job with it. And so there's absolutely no reason you couldn't see them pass sort of the torch to him. And if we're talking about, you know, Naito slowing down and things like that, has been the constant debate forever, but they keep putting titles on him. But if you were going to, like, put LIJ on anybody's shoulders, you'd put it on Shingo's. Like,
yeah, and he's gone far in the tournament before. He was the runner-up in, what was it, 2020?
Exactly right. So you could absolutely see him going really deep, and I think we'll see him do great work in here.
All right, what about Sonata? How do you feel about Sonata? I couldn't even get all the way through the sentence.
Without my eyes rolling into the back of the head, breaking off at the stalks and turning me fucking blind for my entire life. I mean, he's in the tournament, isn't he?
He certainly is.
Yep.
He's just, I understand that, like, you say he's Marmite, you know, some people like, or Vegemite, I guess, is a thing in Australia. Yeah,
because Marmite's like Vegemite from Wish. And Sonata is like, from Wish.
Oh, is Marmite like the toned down version of Vegemite?
It's different, but it is the, it's weird.
Some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah. I mean, Vegemite's like that too, but I've had both and. Yeah, Vegemite is far superior.
Well, all right then. You're going to have to send me some. I understand that some people are like, we love him, and some people are like, we hate him, and I dig it. That's fine. If you love Sonata,
we work stiffer like, we love him, but Ichiban Sweet Cast like, we hate him.
I don't hate him. I just don't care.
Which is worse, right? Like, which is worse. I am terrified of him in this tournament. Very afraid he could win and set up Naito fucking Sonata in the dome again. I don't think it was that great the first time. So, but it did, like, they sold good tickets for the thing. Maybe they just run it back. But I feel like the booking and the way they're going at the moment is New Japan are coming in hot, and I think they're shaking stuff up. And so I hope they are. And he's
been a runner-up in this tournament before. Yeah. So.
And you never know. We've been seeing him show some more emotion. Maybe by the end of this tournament, I'm like fucking on board. You know, like, he's actively changing who he is at the moment. So we'll see. But, yeah, as it stands at the moment, he's a skip for me. So, yeah.
Let's go with the Great Okan. Now, the Great Okan has – what's the best way to put it? Not done anything good?
No.
In a long time?
Nah.
Fucking sucks, man.
It does suck because he's somebody that we really enjoyed, but they've just, I don't know. I don't know whether it's him or the company or whatever. He's just been doing fuck all. There's been so many slow starts and losses and things like that. It's real hard to get behind him, you know. It's real hard to feel like he's not just going to be a fucking huge loser in this block.
Yeah, this block is full of really strong competition, and it seems like things are setting up for him to be a lost post in this.
Like, again, he's the lowest tier in this block. Sucks. And he's a title holder too. But even then, he feels like the lowest tier on this. I hope this block is really highly contended. I hope the wins are staying up really high, and I hope we see him in the mix. Like, I feel like he should be on the level of these guys. And they could so easily have him be on the level of these guys, you know? He's got the presence.
The best he's ever done in this tournament is 4 wins, 5 losses. Personal best.
Exactly.
That's it.
I'd like to see a 5-5. Like, that would be hot.
Or 5-4,
Winning record. Yeah, sorry, 5-4. I think I'd like to see that, but yeah, we'll have to see.
I would love, I think you're right. I hope this block goes like everybody is 5-4, 4-5, and then the winner is like 6-3.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just pipped someone right at the end.
Yeah. That's what we need. We're nice and close. Be good.
Now, Zack Sabre Jr., he's heading into this looking like $1 million. You haven't watched his match with Hechicero yet, have you?
No. What was that? Was that at Noah?
Oh, bro. No, it was at CMLL. He just had a two out of three falls match with Hechicero. Bro, fucking clinic.
Yeah,
might
really
go on in the notebook as one of the match of the year candidates.
Really?
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, fuck.
No, Zack Sabre Jr. looking like a fucking $1 million. Never been IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Is it time?
I mean, I would fucking love it if it was. I think him in like a Wrestle Kingdom match, like headlining the Dome, could be really, really cool. And I would love to see it. So I don't know if it is his time, but I mean, they're putting steam behind him, so we can always hope.
He was a quarterfinalist last year, so let's hope that he takes one or two more steps. Let's hope he takes two more steps, gets to the semis, gets to the finals, gets to the fucking, wins the whole goddamn thing, gets to Wrestle Kingdom, and
That would be so hot.
Then we have Gabe Kidd. Gabe Kidd is, this is his second in a row.
Yeah.
He's got a very poor win percentage.
Yeah, no doubt.
but I don't think he gives a shit about winning the actual title. I think he's in the Zack Sabre Jr. spot. You know how Zack Sabre used to always say, like, I don't need to win the whole thing. I just need to beat the champion.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I think he's just going to be fighting anybody that fucking looks at him wrong. Like, he's just going to be the wild card of this block. And so that's where I was saying, like, I could see him being the guy that is sort of taking the Yano spot in a sense, not in that it's comedy, in that it's completely wild card. He could beat anybody, but he also could lose but not lose, because he can get disqualified, he can get counted out, he can cause them to get counted out or disqualified, you know. And so, yeah, I don't think we'll see like a real clean record from him. I think it'll just be him fighting the world.
Yeah, last year was fun for that with him, especially with the you know, running in and attacking everyone during the entrances. He did that to every single fucking person he faced.
Yeah,
I know. It was
great. Yeah, great stuff. Exactly. Just fighting everybody.
And then we go to Evil. Mm-hmm. Evil was a semifinalist last year. Is 2024 the year of Evil?
Nah.
Lol, no, bro.
I don't think it is, but again, you talk about a wild card in the tournament. You can always get fucking UJ in the tournament now, so he's got plenty of time. And so does Dick Togo. So I think we'll see plenty of House of Torture bullshit from Evil.
Oh, so much House of Torture bullshit. Yeah, so I mean, like, there's another dude who you can have walking brawls and all sorts of nonsense. I am looking forward to Evil versus Gabe Kidd, though. Like, I'm going to cheeky little circle around that one in the calendar, because that's going to be fucking silly.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. And like, I don't mind Evil at House of Torture, this kind of scenario. Like, if you remember that New Japan Cup where like Mark Davis had that fucking semifinal or whatever, and he was fighting off the entire team, and then United Empire was getting involved and all that, it can be really fun. So that's fine.
It can. When it's done right, it goes over great.
Yeah.
So, all right. And then finally we've got Jake Lee and his stupid top hat. Debut entry. How do you feel about Jake Lee?
I don't feel great about the top hat. I got to tell you that. That's not the look for me.
He looks like an incel. He looks like he should walk up and get m'lady.
He's a fucking loser. I did not watch the Naito match, and I don't really watch Noah. So I can tell you I've never watched Jake Lee wrestle. I know he was in a multi-man tag, and I sort of saw him there on the side of the ropes, but I didn't really watch him wrestle or anything. So I don't know what to think about it. But I do know he just disbanded his group in Noah. So is he like a new Bullet Club guy? Is he aligning with somebody or whatever? I don't know. But, yeah, I have no real opinion of him. What – you tell me your opinion of him.
I think he's good. I think he's got – he's a good big guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's quite to the caliber that – you know, he was put into when he was in All Japan. I don't think he's quite the big, like, big fish signing that Noah thought he was. Mm-hmm. I think in New Japan, he's going to seem like a small fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
You know, like he was the big dude in All Japan for a bit there.
Yeah.
I think he won the Champions Carnival, and he was good. He was really good in that. Mm-hmm. In Noah, he's kind of felt like a flop to me. He comes out looking like a kind of a dork. I'm not used to that. But, yeah, I think with talent is there and charisma is not really.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So
we'll see. I mean, there's no surer way to fucking know what he's about than watch a G1. You know what I mean? We'll either be like, can't wait for the next Jake Lee match, or we'll be like, so upset he's in it. But yeah, so we will see.
So with the A block, let's go for our worst case scenario first.
Sure.
And now this is worst case scenario. So we've got Shooter, Naito, Takagi, Sonata, Okan, Saber, Gabe Kidd, Jake Lee, Evil, and Kenta.
Yeah, would be our worst case. So if Kenta had made it in, Kenta would be my worst case. And it's like almost from a storyline perspective, it's a terrifying reality, because if you want to rewind to when Naito finally won the title at Wrestle Kingdom, wins both titles, goes to celebrate, is interrupted by Kenta, and then, you know, things happen, and it's never really resolved that all the way. And so you're kind of like, oh man, then like put a tie a bow on that storyline to have them wrestle at Wrestle Kingdom, but it wouldn't tie a bow on match quality.
He did. It was resolved because, like, at New Beginning, he beat Seven Shades of Shit out of fucking Kenta in a big bloody match. I remember watching that specifically.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like not a huge stage for it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you have that angle happen on Wrestle Kingdom, like, it's kind of got to resolve in something bigger. But either way, I don't want that to happen. So worst case scenario, I'm not even actually going to say Kenta, though. I'm going to say Sonata, like, would be my worst case, because it's the most realistic of them. You know what I mean? He was just the champion, all that kind of stuff, the history between them, can never move on from former LIJ members. That would be my worst case scenario. How about you?
Oh, worst case scenario for me, I think, is, and this is going to sound funny, I think Shooter.
Sure. Okay.
Right now, I don't think Shooter's there. I don't think that him winning the block is going to, it's going to be a feather in someone's cap. One of the Raiwa Easy Company guys is going to be the first to win a G1.
Yeah.
Is going to be the first to win their block in a G1. And they're going to hold that forever. And I don't think Shooter needs it. Mm. I don't think he's ready for it. I don't think he's the guy. I mean, like, I'm so up and down on him all the time. Cause like the match he had with Will, when Will unlocked fucking Devil Shota.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he is the guy. Mm-hmm. This is the dude. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to go, no, wait, he's a fucking dork.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get it, man.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
He's still got to just like find himself, you know, but because of that reason, doesn't mean he doesn't have it, but like because of that reason, you worry that with the Sather company, they're essentially going to undercook him. You know what I mean? Drop him into that sort of position too early and as a result taint him. You know,
I'm all about strapping the rocket to one of these guys. I just don't think it's to be Shooter.
Yeah. No, that's fair. So, okay. That's also a valid reason. Yep.
And then worst case scenario.
Your best case?
Best case scenario for me to win this block is Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that.
Easily.
I would agree. ZSJ would be my best case. I mean, Kidd would also be a really fucking good case, but I think it's a little bit too early for sure.
Yeah, Kidd is going to be he's going to be huge.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Real soon. You can already see people starting to turn like there were people that were like, oh, fuck this guy, fuck these War Dogs, blah, blah, blah. And there were people that were like the whole time, no, War Dogs for real.
Yeah.
And now that he's been speaking his mind and saying what we're all thinking as far as like the title goes and things like that, people are coming around.
Yeah. I like it.
Starting to sit up and take notice. Yeah.
And they're just going to be careful to not wait too long with him. You know what I mean? Because he's not a super young dude. Like he was obviously like an independent wrestler before he then joined the dojo, rewound back to basics and went through everything he's been with. But there's like a certain thing that he's developing at the moment that's really, really impressive. So, yeah, I would say he would be a best case scenario, but I think it's Zach's time in my eyes to step to that next level. He's leading his own faction. Like kid's got too much stuff in the way just yet. You know, technically Finlay is the leader and all these kind of things. So I think yeah, ZSJ would be my best case as well from A Block.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about B Block. Uh-huh. We're running down to the B Block where we find, first up, Hirooki Goto. How do you feel about Goto heading into here's a question. Why did Goto get a free ride and Yoshihashi has to work his way in?
I would say probably due to his performance in the New Japan Cup, right? Because Goto ended up a finalist.
And a great finalist.
So had you asked me this before that, I probably would have been like, oh, nothing Goto, but they tapped him on the shoulder and he absolutely delivered and I'm really impressed with him at the moment. So I would say, like, you could see fucking Goto going into the semis of this as well. I think he's earned it and I think he can deliver. So, yeah, I'm fucking about it. I miss singles Goto after that. So,
can I give you an interesting little stat here?
Sure.
So, Goto is one of two people that are officially entered in the tournament.
Yeah.
That have won it before.
Yeah, that's wild. So just him and Naito, right? The only two to ever win it before. Former winners. So, yeah, there's every reason in the world that he could go very deep in this tournament. Every reason in the world.
He knows it. He's got the pedigree.
Yeah.
I mean, he won it in 2000. It was 2008.
Yeah.
16 years ago. Mm. But he did win it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Either way, that's cool. And I'm not against it. You asked me this question 1 year ago. And I would have been like, oh, nothing, Goto, fucking night off, whatever. But I think he could absolutely do good work here.
Aces. All right. So let's go next to ELP. Where's your partner? That's sad.
Who knows? He's in
Tala Tonga.
Tala Tonga. He's in WWE. I think ELP is obviously in like a huge character transition right now. You know, sad LP, his deal with everything that's going on. I don't think we're going to see a super, you know, winning performance from him here. I think he'll put on good stuff, but I don't think that's his arc at the moment. So I'm not really, I like him a lot, but I think he needs to, you know, wrinkle out some stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely a story to tell with ELP, and I really hope he gets to. It sucks that he's lone wolf again.
Yeah. It's better than where he was, though. I'd rather him lone wolf than with G.O.D. That frees him up to hang out with other lone wolves like El Desperado. Yeah.
Chris Brooks.
They're the ones. Put them together. Yeah, absolutely. Shine in front. So, yeah.
Next up, Yota Tsuji. All right. Last year, he had a 50% win record. So, okay. This is what I call Gary Bettman 50%. Uh-huh. It's 3-3-1, right?
Oh, yeah.
Technically, that's a 50% win percentage as far as like points go and things like that. But really, it's 3-4.
Did he win his block? He won his block, right? Or Sonata won the block?
Sonata won the block. Went undefeated.
Yeah. But okay. But it was like the junior block with Sonata. So, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think, he just won the New Japan Cup. You could see him go into the finals of this block, you know? You could see him winning this block, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you really could.
Yeah.
This block seems more wide open
than
the A block for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you could see him go really deep here.
When we talk about the Rockets, You know, I said, don't strap the rocket to shooter, strap it to Yoda Tsuji.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see.
A lot of mid-level champs in this block, eh? I'm just reading this. I just realized Kobadara and Fidlay are all in this block. So New Japan World title, NEVA title, and global title are all in this block.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yuya Uemura is up next. Uh-huh. You know, Heatstorm, Yuya Uemura. I'm still not quite feeling the where he's coming with this, like, I'm going to take everybody back to basics. I am going to be just hashtag wrestler. You know, like, it's just, like, no fanciness, none of that. And I don't know if I dig it in theory.
Yeah.
But it's not popping me yet.
Nah, it's a choice. And by God, I'm going to wow everybody by doing nothing is maybe not the best technique. I don't know. But I do, yeah, I do think he absolutely has star potential. Again, yet to really see it, but at least he's got fire and stuff. So, yeah, he could do well in here, I think. I think you could see him getting some wins. I don't know if you see him win this block, but I think you could see him doing half decent.
Yeah. Let's go on to Jeff Cobb. Now, Jeff Cobb, a couple of years ago, fucking ran the show, was like an 8-1 in his block, and only lost because he lost specifically to Okada, who went 8-1 as well. Mm-hmm. No Okada in the block this year. And Jeff Cobb's got a shiny new belt to defend.
Absolutely.
How are you feeling about Jeff Cobb?
Yeah, I mean, this is, when I look at these names, this is going to be a really tight block. There's a lot of guys at like the same level. Where that first block had like, you know, those few bit bigger names that you're like, you know, they'll probably do a little bit better and stuff like that. This is really close. Cobb could be quite dominant here. Absolutely. There's a lot of guys that I'm like, he could be really dominant here. He could be really dominant here. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, again, I think this is going to be a really tight block. You can see, I'm just going to be saying the same fucking words in a row for the next few competitors. It's like, you can see him in the fucking semis for this. You can see him winning this block. Like, you know, so I don't think he wins the block, but I think he does a lot of damage.
Okay. Next up, we've got Hanare. Now, Hanare does not have a good win record.
No.
In the
But he's now the NEVA champion. And he's
now
set up as the hardest motherfucker in New Japan.
He's Utamo fucking Hanare.
Yeah.
Last man, Utamo Hombre, right?
Yeah.
Like, is he gonna fuck shit up? Yes.
Yes. Does that fucking shit up necessarily come with heaps of wins? It's hard to fucking say. Because we haven't ever seen him hold a belt before. You know? They're gonna have to make him dominant. He's the NEVA champion. You know? But yeah. So, I mean, if I was looking at him and I was going to pick people he could beat, I could see him getting a fucking win over Goto. I could see him beating ELP, maybe lose to Tsuji. I'd like to see him beat Cobb. I feel like his belt is higher in the pecking order than Cobb's. I could see him losing to Fidlay. I could see him getting, like, cheated by Narita, beating Yuya, and then who knows with Takeshita. So, yeah, I could see him being dominant in here.
So let's go now. Speaking of David Finlay, the current global heavyweight champion, David Finlay, the leader of the Bullet Club War Dogs. He was a quarterfinalist last year. He was a runner-up in the New Japan Cup 2 years ago. How you feeling about David Finlay in this tournament? So he's had some ups and downs, right, in G1s before. I think the last two for him have been pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like he could actually be the winner of this block, though. Like, probably the most likely pick to win the block.
Ooh, okay, we'll get to that in a second, because there's a thing there. Now, David Finlay he's primed. He's primed for this this year.
Absolutely, and he's had a few setbacks and things like that with his sickness in New Japan Cup and things like that. I imagine he was probably supposed to go pretty deep there, if not win it, and there were stories they wanted to tell with him. So, you know, need to get him there somehow.
Time to start telling those stories real fast. So, next up, Ren Narita. Again, a victim of the Sonata block last year, but he's brand new sad boy, angry boy Ren Narita now. Yeah. How we feeling? How we feeling about Ren Narita? Is he going to be just evil, evil for the B block, or is he going to actually have some bangers here?
It's really hard to say. Probably a 50-50 mix, but there's definitely going to be bullshit out of him. When you don't have like Yano and stuff in there, they need that kind of stuff. So I think Ren could be a real, just evil light in this scenario. I don't have great hopes for what he has to deliver.
Yeah, that is.
He has the potential to deliver it. I just don't think that will be delivered because I think he's there to serve a different role.
And then next up, the final announced for this is AEW star, DDT star, Konosuke Takeshita.
Takeshita.
This is fucking huge.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge in. And I don't know what it means for win, loss. He's such a fucking wild card in here just because of his standing with other companies and valued partners and things like that. But yeah, it's really cool. Like, is he turning up with Don Callis? Like, I don't know what is going to happen, but it's very exciting. And I have to say that out of anybody you could have chosen from the AEW roster, putting him in here is the most exciting thing you could do.
It's probably the one, if I had to look at a member of the AEW roster, with the exception of people who have been in the G1 before, I probably would have grabbed him.
It would have been him or Brody King for me.
Yeah, Brody King is one that I would have looked at. Also, if it was 10 years ago in a snap, I would have said Samoa Joe.
Oh, but, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It is 2024. So yeah, I think it's the crossover appeal from AEW, DDT, you know, Takeshita is going to be a fucking force to be reckoned with, dude.
Yeah.
And he is good. He's a fucking ace for a reason, you know? So let's look at best case, worst case scenario coming into the B block. Let's go worst case first. So our worst case is the one that we were differing on. Mm-hmm. You said the worst case was?
In A block?
Sorry? Yeah. In B block.
Oh, in B block. So I had said that the worst case for my B block would be.
TJP.
Where'd I write it? Yeah. I had said TJP and you had said Tanahashi.
Yes.
Yeah.
So is TJP still your worst case scenario to win the B block?
I mean, fucking hell. Probably, but I don't think that would realistically happen. And I like to choose my worst case as like a realistic choice. I would say, fuck, actually, it's
not a lot of bad choices in the B block.
No, there isn't. It's decent.
When we do G Wondering this year,
what's that?
When we do G Wondering this year, I'm kind of wondering if I want the A block or the B block.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good.
They're both good.
Yeah, we have to debate over if we're doing G-Wondering this year. Jesus Christ.
We're doing G-Wondering. It's our thing.
Yeah, okay. Fuck. At least it's a better setup. Worst case. Oh, man. It actually just would be TJP. That's too easy. I think, like I don't hate any of the others, really, as, like, a winner for the block.
I think TJP would be a better winner than like Ren right now.
Yeah.
Ren's not okay, so Ren is one of the
It depends how he does it. Yeah, probably.
He's just a dude in the back behind Evil and Show.
Yeah.
You know? He doesn't
but
seem
then if
special.
He,
like if I thought him joining the House of Torture would be awesome.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really blown my skirt up. You know what
if
I mean?
If he won it though, maybe he becomes that guy, is where my mind keeps going. Like, I mean, Yuya's pretty...
And if my grandma had wheels, she'd be a wagon.
Yeah, that's true. Yuya's pretty fucking bland at the moment, really.
Yuya's pretty fucking bland at the moment, but...
I like him.
I want to like you, Yuya. I want to like you. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Yuya.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, Narita, though, if it was Narita in the current way that he is, like you said, and you ended up with a fucking final that is House of Torture-y, that would sort of be annoying. So maybe it's Narita.
Yeah, it would. Well, I mean, well, what's going to be a more boring match? Okay, yes.
Oh, actually, I think like Yuya versus Zack would be not
actually, yeah, that. Now that you mention it, Yuya versus Zack would probably be pretty fucking cool. But Zack plays into House of Torture shenanigans really well.
Yeah, he does. Like if we were talking worst and worst, which we would be, I would have Sonata. And I feel like Sonata versus Yuya would be bland as fuck.
Oh my God, you're right. But we've seen Sonata versus House of Torture be bland as fuck before too.
I mean, that's what he does. That's his fucking
At least
brand.
Yuya's got personality.
That's dangerously realistic because they'd be like, it's a Just Five Guys final. Like, Just Five Guys explode. Nobody gives a fuck.
So what are we thinking? Sonata versus Yuya or Sonata versus Ren? Those are the two options, right?
Yeah. It'd be Sonata versus Yuya for me, because at least if it was Sonata versus Ren, I could fucking cheer for the House of Torture.
That's fair. That's ultimately very fair.
Yeah.
All right. We'll go with that. Okay. Yeah, so next up, best case scenario. So your best case scenario included President Girlfriend.
It did.
Now, is President Girlfriend, is President Girlfriend your best case scenario to win the B block?
To win the B block? Absolutely. It'd be fucking sick. He's doing it. He's fucking racking up injuries. He's covered in bandages and shit. They're like, can you fucking do it? And then you hit that fucking aces high. Fucking to the outside. You know he's just powering through on hairspray and duct tape. Fucking gets through. And then his face. But then he would run into Zack. And you know how that goes. Tanahashi and Zack verse each other 1,000 times. But Zack always wins. But that not this time, because Tanahashi would fucking find a way to pull through, and then you get Tanahashi versus Naito in the dome. Fuck yeah.
I was in the crowd for Tanahashi beating Zack for the RPW Revolution Pro British heavyweight title.
Really? Tanahashi beat Zack for it?
Yeah.
I was
he held it for like a week before Zack won it back.
That's sick. I was in the crowd.
But
when
for a
fucking
while, President Girlfriend was the champion of the British.
I love that.
I was proud to be a citizen that day.
You would have been. What a handsome day to be a citizen. I was in the crowd when Tanahashi won the fucking IWGP championship from Kenny Omega.
Fucking brag.
Yeah, I know. Right. At the time, though, I did have fun with it. And I was sitting next to this nice Japanese lady who was like fucking going sick, like had all the Tanahashi shit on, probably supported him her entire life, you know. It was really cool to see. But at the same time, Kenny Omega was my guy at the time, you know what I mean? And I was fucking really sad because the Elite were so hot at the time and they were leaving. And so that Wrestle Kingdom was just booked that they lose everything. And I was getting annoyed, not because they were losing, just because it was so predictable. It was like, come on, guys. Dude, like, I knew Kenny Omega was hanging around for 2 months afterwards. It's like, have him win and then, like, he loses it at Dash or do something unpredictable. But instead it was just like they just lose everything. And so I was watching a Wrestle Kingdom where I was like, I already knew the results was how it felt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But you're saying Tanahashi now, 2024. Tanahashi.
Look,
not 2019 Tanahashi.
I'm obviously failing to get you hyped for this like I have in the past where I've turned you around to it.
I'm not, dude. I can't.
Yeah. To be honest, even I am struggling to fucking book it. Like,
The thing is, I don't believe that you believe it this time.
Where in the past, I've honestly believed it was possible. You know what I mean? He was getting into, you know, you know when you start seeing like the Tanahashi training photos drop, you know, leading up to G1 and he's fucking shredding and you're like, fuck, it's going down. We literally just saw him wrestling and he's not in that G1 condition. You know what I mean? He's just not. Like, he's still in way better condition than me, but he's not traded like he's fucking going in it. And then as a result, like, I don't think he is. So it's hard for me to do it.
Can I throw a wild card at you for best case scenario?
Mm-hmm.
Takeshita.
That's wild coming from you as well. The fucking staunch anti-AEW fucking dude. Yeah, why?
You want to know why?
Yeah, please tell me.
Because then Zack Sabre Jr. beats him and proves our fucking dominance. Fuck AEW.
To be honest, I think Takeshita versus Zack would be a fucking sick final.
Yeah, it would, right?
It would be fucking awesome.
I'm playing the part here. It's all the work. I don't fucking hate AEW that much, but I think that might actually be a fucking
best case scenario
match.
Do I actually think he would win? I actually do think that Finlay would win this block.
Here's the thing. I wanted to put a pin in that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Finlay and Zack Sabre Jr. would be the best case scenario at that point, and that's two foreigners
has never happened.
G1 final.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough ask.
There's a chance it could happen, though. There is a chance
there
it could happen. Yeah, but it would be the first time it had ever happened.
Yeah, I have a lot of trouble seeing that coming. I do actually have a lot of trouble seeing them putting Takeshita in the final versus a foreigner.
Actually,
so a dude who doesn't work for the company versus a foreigner.
That said, though, if it was going to be any foreigner, I think we would agree that Zach has fucking earned his stripes there. I mean, he fucking literally lives there. And absolutely, if they're going, okay, we're going to have this foreigner win G1, there's only been a couple to ever do it. Is Zach versus an outsider the move? Because then he's also defending New Japan. You know what I mean? And then it's like, he's our fucking adopted kid. Like, he's our guy. And we want to see him win.
And he's staying. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to AEW anytime soon.
No, exactly.
Whew. I don't know. That could be great. That could be really, really great.
Yeah, I kind of think Takeshita is the best case scenario. Just because it'd be so unpredictable, and he's also so good.
Let's fucking go. Let's just go.
This is best case, worst case. This isn't predictions. This is best case, worst case. So best case out of B is Takeshita. Worst case is Yuya.
And then let's go here we go. We're going to break it down like we did with the first block. Mm-hmm. So we've got a bunch of champions in this block. Who are two people you would like to see beat Jeff Cobb to get shots down the line?
For the TV thing? For the TV title, I would say ELP would be a super unpredictable one for beating Cobb. I'd just like to see him sort of in that picture.
I want to throw one out.
You go. I've changed my mind on that one. You go.
I think it would be fun to see Ren beat Jeff Cobb in this and challenge for the TV title, because I think Jeff Cobb is underrated, hilarious, and it would be fun to see him versus House of Torture.
Yeah, just like throwing, like, just him on his own versus the entire team, like, would be really good. I agree. So that'd be really good. And then second, I actually wouldn't go ELP. I've changed my mind. I think I'd put him elsewhere. I think I would go Tsuji, I think, would be good.
Okay.
Just in that 15 minutes, Jeff versus Tsuji, just banging. Well, not just, you know what I'm saying? Banging heads, not.
That's a lot of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
Yeah. Like, Yoda Tsuji is really good in that explosive, fast, like, Fosbury flops, fucking curb stomps, fucking just rapid fire big moves. Yeah, that would be really good.
How about two people to beat Hanare and challenge for the never?
Finlay?
Goto's the obvious choice there.
Goto absolutely, because I would like to see him become a scalp on Hanare's defense list. Like, I want to see him, like, he beat Shingo. I want to see him beat Ishii. I want to see him beat Goto. I want to see him beat, like, the legends of never past. So, absolutely, I'd love to see Goto get this win and then them actually have a real defense where Hanare would win. And then the other one would be, I was going to say Finlay.
I don't think Finlay would bother with the never belt, and that's why his own GHC.
And that's why, because it's like kind of that higher tier champion. It wouldn't really hurt Hanare. And then just not a defense. But if he was going to do a defense, I mean, maybe Cobb, and then you have fucking them versus each other, title versus title, and Hanare wins.
No, I don't want to see any more title versus title.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to see any more. Like,
but they are going to have to verse each other, though.
So, oh, they are. Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe not but title.
There's no titles on the line at that point.
Yeah. Drawing, to be fair. I could see them fucking passing out, fighting each other, and not.
It's true.
Yeah.
What about Takeshita for the never? Do you think I think Takeshita and Hanare could have a fucking banger?
Actually, Takeshita for the never would be cool. Again, and that'd be another cool fucking win for Hanare as well when the actual title defense comes around.
Yeah, they could do that on a AEW pay per view even.
Yeah,
and see how that goes.
Hanare be spewing, but yeah, it'd be awesome.
How about David Finlay? Who are two people you'd like to see beat David Finlay and challenge him for the GHC down the line before WrestleMania?
Okay, so actually that's why I took ELP away. I think I'd like to see ELP beat Finlay.
Actually, yes.
I feel 100%. Like they've still got fucking mileage in their tank, their rivalry. And their
great story there because, yeah, that's the dude that kicked him out of Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Like he's been not kicked out, but he's been taken away from another family here. So he was kicked out of Bullet Club.
Yeah.
The Elite left.
Yeah.
Jay left. He's kicked out again. You know, kicked out Finlay, by the next guy.
And then G.O.D. left.
Now he's got G.O.D. G.O.D. is gone. Mm. Jesus, like, he's just going to fucking take it all out on Finlay.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I think ELP would be the one, and that may be, like, one of the only wins he gets in the block. And then we just did Suji, really, so probably not him. Maybe Goto? Goto would be a good defense for Finlay.
I always want to see Suji. So, I mean, Suji's like the free space, right?
Yeah.
Goto would be a very good, like you said, a scalp for David Finlay. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah. You could see Goto being really dominant in this block. Picking up a bunch of challenges and then not winning, kind of thing.
Do you see any of those belts changing hands down the line? Do you see like Jeff Cobb losing the never to, or Jeff Cobb losing the TV belt to Suji or something like that?
Mm. I don't know. They're also new, you know, and we've been calling for a bit more stability in the belts and things like that. I'm kind of really happy where they're at the moment. So none of those look like ones I would immediately want to flip just yet.
Well, let's go to our finals.
Best and worst. Yep.
The official, we always end up doing the best case, then the worst case, and we bum ourselves out at the end of the episode.
Yeah, so we're going to do worse that way. Yeah, it is funnier that way. Let's not do that today, though. Let's it's not quite as bleak this time as it has been in the past. So I think
fuck is, because you know whose name's coming out of your mouth.
Well, yeah, you absolutely do. But I've had those rants before, so, you know, what's it going to be? Fair.
All right, so worst case scenario, you've got Yuya Uemura, winner of the B block, versus Sonata, winner of the A block. Gross. who's
fucking milk toast. Yeah.
Who's coming out as G1 champion?
In my worst case,
Rafe turn off the TV.
Yeah, you know who it be. All day.
Know who I be?
Yeah, exactly.
Last week, Kobe couldn't do without me.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's only one person I know would get that reference. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna be Sonata, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be Sonata. That'd be my worst case, because it's perilously dangerous, perilously boring, and perilously realistic.
Likely. Yeah, realistic. Gross. I don't like it. No. I don't like it.
No,
at all.
Sir. I don't like it.
No, sir. I don't like it. That would just be, again, the fucking world belt continuing to do nothing for me.
Yeah.
To not be booked for me personally.
So exactly.
That's yeah, fine, I guess.
That'd be my worst. And that's why I didn't do this last, because this is how we talk about it. Because it's not like we're even mad about it. We just don't care about it is the issue.
Yeah. So best case scenario.
Yeah.
Now, your best case scenario was Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
And did we agree on
Takeshita? We did agree on Takeshita in the end. In the end, I even talked myself out of Tanahashi. I just wanted to fuck with you, but I really couldn't push it through. So Takeshita versus Zack Sabre Jr., and it's no surprise to fucking anybody that Zack Sabre Jr. would be our best case.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've both been on this for like so Zack Sabre needs to win the fucking G1 this year.
Yeah.
I'm into it, man. I'm so into it.
Yeah.
It's got to be time, right?
It's got to be. What does it fucking look like if Naito doesn't win the belt back from Mox?
It looks like a 30-minute one-taker of me just fucking sitting here screaming for 30 minutes.
Like, if he doesn't win the belt back from Mox, are we looking at Naito wins G1 again? Because if so,
my fucking life.
That's the worst case scenario. And I'm not the Moxley fucking championship run hater that you are. But
I love Moxley.
Yeah.
I love Moxley.
You just don't like him having the belt. It gets you upset. He's very upset right now.
I'm sorry, man.
I even brought it up because you're very agitated. I can tell you're getting hot about it. But
I'm getting hot.
It's a perilously realistic scenario that we've got to talk through here.
No.
Because if Moxley is still the champion, and they want to put him, the biggest star in the dome, that's very unrealistic. Curtis is gone. I'm just talking out with you listeners. He's actually left. There is a very realistic scenario.
I'm just going to sit here. I can't hear what you're saying. I took my earphones
off. That is fine.
I can't hear. I'm just going to sit here and drink my water.
Watch this.
Brisk, cold.
You're muted. I've turned you off. I've turned off your mic. You don't even know. You can't even be heard. I've cut you. I've cut your feed. I don't want to hear you whinging. You're muted right now. So you just sit there and fucking hear this out. So in a terrifyingly realistic scenario, if Naito doesn't reclaim the belt from Moxley, then Moxley will be waiting to main event Wrestle Kingdom. And if that happens, it's also very realistic that they wouldn't have two Gaijin in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, which would put the brakes on the chance of Zack Sabre Jr. winning this tournament. If that happens, are we just seeing Naito win it again, or is there something else going? So I'm going to let Curtis back in. He's back at the thing. He's tongues hanging out. He's having a fucking terrible time. But riddle me this. If that scenario plays out, are we done being a podcast?
No, I told you we're going to become a DDT podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We're done fucking being almost.
I'm going to be all about Mao until he fucking goes to AEW. It's going to be great.
Yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen. But if that did, you would have to agree that if they go, you know what? Mox is the biggest star. He's going to sell the most tickets. He's going to headline Wrestle Kingdom. There's no chance you see Zach and Mox in the dome. Like, there's no chance that happens. They're not going to have.
No chance.
They're not going to have two Gaijin. Like headline that show, and in which case
shouldn't say Gaijin.
Sorry,
I hate this. We said we were going to do the best case scenario.
Yeah, well, we're back to worst case, and then you know what happens? Then Takeshita wins, and then we have an all AEW fucking title defense at the dome. How's that
taste?
Don't
you put that evil on me. Don't you put that evil on me.
I didn't even know I was going to do this, but I've done it to you.
Don't you speak this in the
So guess what? Atmosphere? The worst case scenario was worse than you ever fucking imagined. How's it feel? I fucked him
quit
up.
The podcast.
I did not know I was going to stitch you up and turn this into a worst case ending, but looks like I just did it.
I will go outside and I will lay down in front of a car.
Okay.
It is 1:45 in the morning. Yeah. No one's going to be leaving for hours.
Yeah.
But I will continue to lay there until they fucking want to leave first thing in the morning to go to work, and they will roll over my body and kill me dead.
Do you want me to bring you back? I'll bring you back real quick. So I'll bring you back.
Bring me back.
If Naito doesn't beat Mox and Mox is the champion.
You're not doing a good job yet.
Hush your sweet lips. If a Japanese talent is going to win the G1, how's this fucking taste? Shingo Takagi. Wins the G1, goes in the Japanese Dragon into fucking Wrestle Kingdom to take that title back from Moxley personally.
Because
that doesn't fucking suck. That actually would be a fucking killer match.
That match fucks. It's true.
Huge fan base. Absolutely love Takagi, right?
Yes.
Huge, like, obviously Moxley draws like a lot of people. American versus fucking Japanese. I feel like their rivalry could be killer. I feel like they have a great match. That honestly feels like a pretty fucking dope Wrestle Kingdom main event, big nuts fucking title match.
Yes. But let me put this out for you. That means another 6 months of me crying every time because Moxley's still the fucking champion.
It does mean that. So worst case scenario for me, but I'm just saying if we were going to go down the fucking chaos theory where Naito hasn't brought the title back to New Japan, that would personally be my best case scenario.
Okay. Yes.
And that's the scenario where I want that Shingo to win it. I guess there's also a scenario where if Naito is the champion, Shingo, if they're not going to go with Zach, Shingo wins the block, and then it's Shingo and Naito at Wrestle Kingdom. Because then it's like Naito loves to beat up his mates. Like he loves to embarrass his friends. Like, yeah.
I'd still take that, I think.
Yeah.
Shingo and Naito. That would be a good match.
Yeah.
Shingo winning the G1 would be fucking sick.
It would be.
And I don't really care who would be champion at that point.
No, because you just know Shingo's going to deliver. Whoever's fucking holding it no longer matters because you just know Shingo will kill it. So Shingo and Zach are like tandem best case scenarios there.
What if, how about this? Zach wins the G1, okay? Naito is not the champion, okay? Moxley is still the champion.
Okay.
Here we go. Shingo beats Danielson at Forbidden Door before the G1.
Yep.
And then he says, look, I took down your boy. I went through the G1. Mm-hmm. And now I'm coming for your fucking title.
Yeah.
Shingo takes it from Moxley before the dome. And then we get ZSJ versus Shingo for the title.
That is the actual best case scenario.
Boom, we went there, folks.
That's the actual best case scenario. What a fucking title match. I don't know if that's definitely our personal booking best. I don't know if that's really what New Japan would do just in like, I don't know if those two names are big enough, I guess, to be the main event of the Dome. But look, you can pad it out with other stuff. And it's Wrestle Kingdom. It sells out anyway. So that would be, we've brought it back. See, I took you to the fucking edge and look where it led you. Sometimes you've got to appear in the
jump.
Yeah, you've got to peer into the abyss so it can peer back. That's what it needs to happen.
I was like DCI Luther standing on the edge of the thing, like just waiting.
Just step straight off. Exactly. Just the freedom. Yeah. Well, there you go. So
there you go.
That ended up going places that we never imagined when we were planning this out. I was like, this is all pretty clean and cut, and this is what it's going to be, but we fucking went there.
Let's just say how fucking awesome it is that G1 is back. Sorry, I just burped a little bit. G1 is back.
Ryan, edit that.
And don't edit it. Don't worry about that. I don't care.
Sorry, listeners.
G1 is back, and it's going to be a fucking grind again.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fucking murderer's row of badass matches, dude.
Yeah.
There's no yuck-yucks coming from Toriano, no night off with the pimp, no Bullet Club making another Bullet Club guy say, fucking lay down for me, and then none of that. Mm-hmm. We're going to get fucking match after match after match after match.
Yeah. It's going to be good. There's still the potential for a bit of like House of Torture bullshit, but I think one of those on each night is fired. I think Fiddley has been proven that he doesn't really rely on, you know, the War Dogs beating people up and stuff like that. He just beats people up himself. So it's really only like the Evil and Ren matches that, you know, might get a bit interfering, but at least they can be entertaining. So, yeah, I think we're in for a real good time.
I'm so excited for him. Speaking of a real good time, why don't you tell people how they can help us have a really good time over on Patreon?
Well, absolutely. You need to go to the Count Out Network. You need to subscribe to the Patreon, and then there, the link will be in the show notes, but you can check out our extra show, The Sweet Spot, where we talk about just our general lives, but we're also going to be doing some more content. We've got some other ideas for things like we've been talking about, like DDT and... Ryan was even trying to convince you to do stuff on Pancrase. So, yeah, we're going to try and
I'm in on doing Pancrase stuff.
Yeah, so we want to try and do some more stuff over there on the Patreon. By supporting the Patreon, you don't just support us, you support everybody on the CountOut Network. It's a shared effort over there. And we all do it together, and then they help us. Like, Ryan is an unsung hero of this show. He puts it out onto everywhere and does that for us, so it's greatly appreciated. And where can they find us on all the social medias?
So you can find the show here on Instagram and Twitter at Ichiban Suite. You can find our man Rafe here, your bad friend Rafe Houston, on Instagram and Twitter at Faces Feels Cast, which is also his other cast, which is on
CountOut Network.
The CountOut Network.
Buh, buh, buh.
Look at that. And does that mean you double dip on the Patreon?
When I ever release anything Patreon, likely for Faces and Feels, then yes, I guess so. But I'm struggling to get out normal content. So, you know.
I don't know. You've been putting out content a lot faster now that we switched over.
That is true because, yeah, I have Ryan does my editing and gets everything sorted like an absolute hero. And I've also changed up the format. So now I do two different types of show. So over at Face of Fieldscast, it's an interview series. I interview independent wrestlers, but it was a real grind doing those all the time because you got to find times, time zones need to line up, blah, blah, blah. Kind of the biggest problem that you and I have is that we're on opposite sides of the world, right? And so that gets exhausting when you're trying to do that weekly. But at the moment, I've got a new format where I release an interview 1 week and then the next week I do Faces and Feels, Anything Goes. I do that with my friend.
I love the Anything Goes episodes. They're a ton of fun.
Oh, thank you. I do that with my bud Alex Castillo from Vinyls and Violence. And we just jump on and we talk about shows that we've watched. And we're only still really new to it. We covered AEW's Double or Nothing. We covered the GCW Tournament of Survival weekend. Next up, I think the one will probably come out next will be AEW's what's the next one? Forbidden Door. We'll do a bit of talk about that. And I think my bud Peapod from Ruthless Pro Wrestling will jump on with us there. And then we're also going to be doing one real soon with Alex's mate who also does ring announcing. So I've done ring announcing like one time and I had real fun with it, and he does it all the time. So we're going to get on and the three of us are going to chat about his experience in ring announcing and mine and kind of things like that. And so we're just mixing it up and talk about whatever really strikes our fancy and, you know, bring in different guests and do different things and, yeah, just completely freedom. So Anything Goes is exactly that. And it's been fun.
It's great stuff, man. So we've had Rafe's Instagram and Twitter, like we said, Faces Feels Cast. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Instagram at eldestructo83. You can find my other show, which is the Throw and Dice podcast, where we talk about things like tabletop wargaming, tabletop role playing, and all of the hobby that's fit to hobby within those hobbies. Mm-hmm. I said hobby a lot.
Yeah, you did, but that's what it is.
but that's what it is. So yeah, come and find us on any of those places. We would love to talk to you. If you have any suggestions for the Wheel of Wrestling, please get at us. Get at us. We are constantly adding wrestling matches all the time to watch. We've got to find the Viagra on a pole match so that we can watch that. And Jesus Christ, I'm going to fucking claw my own eyes out. No, but you know what? It is the franchise and fucking Billy Kidman. So maybe it'll be okay.
It's either going to be an absolute shit show or it's going to be awesome. But either way, that's a listener suggestion. So we're pumped to do it. Plus, we've had heaps of suggestions coming in. I feel like every 2 seconds I turn around on Twitter and you're like, add it to the wheel. Like, so, yeah, that.
Hell yeah.
The wheel is bursting at the seams. It's coming off its fucking thing and rolling after me like fucking Indiana Jones' boulder. So, yeah, there's lots to do, and we're gonna get cracking on those, get a bunch built up, I think.
So, there's a heap of wrestling that we need to watch. The G1's coming up, the Wheel of Wrestling. Sometimes you feel you're on top of the wheel and the next it's rolling over you.
Absolutely.
So we need to get on that
and,
right away.
And then I believe there's even like with G1, we were talking about doing some stuff with WeWork Stiff as well. So I don't know if that's still going ahead, but if that does, that's even more content.
I hope it does.
Yeah, me too.
I love those guys.
So I don't know what they got planned, but they're fucking evil geniuses that aren't afraid of work. So we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. We want
in
on it.
All right, shall I sign this bad boy off? I reckon I should. We've got to work in 5 minutes. So here we go. It is rate and subscribe. It is listen or die. It is spirit of fight, style of strong, sweet cast.
Ichiban.
Countout provides a wide variety of bonus content that is right at your fingertips. On the Countout Patreon, our podcasts are creating bonus content exclusively for you, their listener. For only $5 a month, you can watch instant reactions to major shows, watch-alongs, early access to main feed podcasts, some fun goof and gag audio, plus shows from some of the podcasters' outside interests. It's the best way to experience all that the Countout Network has to offer. So head on down to patreon.com/countout to take part in some of the best and most fun content wrestling has to offer. Again, that is patreon.com/countout.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This has been a Countout Podcast.